It was daring. It was hip, and it certainly wasn't The Lion King or Cirque du Soleil. Vegas Nocturne was different from most entertainment on the Strip, but it closed in early July when Deutsche Bank sold the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas to the Blackstone Group. Now Ross Mollison and his company Spiegelworld is suing the Cosmopolitan. So what went wrong? And what's the future of Vegas Nocturne and shows like it on the Las Vegas Strip? Joining us to talk about those questions is John Katzlamides. He writes about entertainment for the Las Vegas Sun. John, welcome back to the program.
How you doing, Ian?
I am well. So tell us, why is Spiegelworld suing the hotel that hosted the show?
Their complaint is that the company that owned Cosmopolitan at the time of the closing of Vegas Nocturne had, in their words, sabotaged the prospects for success at the hotel.
So what did they mean by sabotage?
Well, I think in the complaint, what they're saying is that the hotel at the time, which was ownership under Deutsche Bank, was at the time owned the Cosmopolitan, had failed to pay severance to employees and had attempted to block the show from moving to another venue, that they had not properly marketed the show, and for that reason it suffered poor ticket sales, especially as it opened. They had rejected the ideas of Spiegelworld and its founder Ross Mollison to include celebrities in some of the marketing and free media of the production. Those are some of the specified areas of concern as far as the promotion of the show. And there's also an allegation of misappropriation of funds that were allegedly used to pay for a contractor's personal activities. This is a food and beverage contractor. That the person was using money to indulge in personal activities like going to adult clubs and things of that nature. So that's also part of the complaint.
So it all sounds like a messy lawsuit, but was the show drawing enough audience? Were there enough people willing to pay to see it?
Not to make a profit, no. That's Vegas Nocturne was doing poorly at the box office. It wasn't doing well enough at the box office to cover what is a very expensive show. There were many, many cast members. It costs better than $1 million a month to put on, from what I've heard. And you need to sell a lot of tickets to do that. And they were having, I understand they were having trouble in the third performance of the night, especially the late show, selling tickets.
Okay.
And that was what helped undercut it.
Now, what you've just said tells us that this show isn't the typical headliner show. Some of it was very adult and risque. How would you describe the kind of acts that were part of this show?
They were mostly adult in nature, circus-styled act, a lot of acrobatic acts, a lot of comedy acts. The best comparison would be to, if you were to draw out Absinthe, which is also a Spiegelworld show, over three performances. It's that type of show. It had a couple of co-hosts. It had a comedic sidekick, a manservant who would come out, and it was performed partially in the round. And it was that sensibility. It was very much, Spiegelworld's hit show in Las Vegas is Absinthe, and Vegas Nocturne was that sort of vibe. It was that type of performance with many more acts, but that it was an adult circus show, sort of.
Okay, that's a sort of mix of genres. You saw it, and how did you and other critics rate the show?
I thought Vegas Nocturne was as talented a show. The level of talent in Vegas Nocturne was really impressive, as talented a show as we've seen in Las Vegas. I really enjoyed it. It was inventive. It was smart. There was a lot of variety. One thing about Vegas Nocturne is I don't think anybody was going to like every single act in every performance, but there was enough variety there that you were going to like something. And I thought it was very ambitious and creative and inventive. I really enjoyed it.
Well, having said all that, I mean, is it clear that they closed the show purely for the financial reasons, or was it too risque? Did they think that it might be alienating customers?
I've never heard that the content of Vegas Nocturne was an issue. I have not heard that. I mean, this show was it was well known what it was going to be. This isn't like what the Venetian was claiming with the act, for example, where it opened, it was being performed for a while and was in business, and all of a sudden somebody said, wait a second, this isn't what we signed up for. I have never heard that. I don't think they knew what Spiegelworld was all about, and also there was never any effort to adjust the content to suit a different type of audience at any point during the run of Vegas Nocturne, and it opened on New Year's Eve.
And just to be clear here, I mean, a lot of it was double entendre and suggestiveness rather than what you would think of as outright lewd.
Well, yeah, right. It was smart adult comedy. You know, it wasn't beat you over the head with ribald comedy or anything like that. It was smart in its execution. It was well written, and it wasn't all adult themed either. You know, they had a lot of aerialist work. They had the two tap dancers, Sean and John, in this show, who came over from Vegas to show the twin tap dancers, were just superior dancers together. And there was nothing really adult about them, but it had something for everybody.
Okay, now the producers of Vegas Nocturne want to move to a new venue, but say the Cosmopolitan's blocking them from that move. Why would that be?
Because it's because the hotel doesn't want to compete with something that it helped generate and promote. You know, if you have something generally speaking, if you have something that you help make popular and you know, they don't necessarily want it to go to another property, and then you have to compete against it. You know, that's the reasoning behind that complaint. And it never does say, I haven't seen where they specify how the hotel had made that happen, but they are alleging that the hotel kept material from the show and has been using it, costumes and things like that, which belong to the show. So that you could say that would be a way to stop them from succeeding elsewhere, but that has not been specified. But the reason a property would not want that to happen is because they don't want to have to deal with competing for the consumer dollar with something that they helped market.
But is there any evidence that this show would do much better in a different venue or a smaller venue?
You know, there's been a lot of talk about this. You know, I don't know. You know, it's Vegas Nocturne is a specific show. It's a very, it's a lavish show. It is an expensive production. And, you know, where it would be performed and how and with how many cast members my opinion is it would have to be somewhat different. It would have to be scaled back because there's so much going on in the show. And, you know, to play it in a traditional showroom, you'd have to adjust it. There are not that many rooms open. The ticket-buying public in Las Vegas is very fickle, and you can't guarantee that it would sell even as a single performer somewhere else in a 400 or 500 seat venue. So I don't know. You know, Ross Mollison has been claiming and told the cast that this is going to resurface somewhere. But I looked around the city, I poked around, and you know there are not that many hotels that have rooms that would satisfy the artistic needs of Vegas Nocturne, and not many that have rooms that are unoccupied right now.
Well, leave aside the real estate question, the kind of entertainment that Vegas Nocturne was, the hip nightclub act that you often see in LA or New York, the stuff that really pushes the envelope, can we expect to see more of that, as you say, adult comedy on the Las Vegas Strip?
You know, I think we can see it. I just think it's the question is in what form, in what context are we going to see it? You know, we have a lot of entertainers who will perform in intimate settings, that do get hired, and they're part of the atmospheric entertainment. It happens at Rose Rabbit Live still. It happens at, Beecher's Madhouse to a degree. You know, they have a stage and they have a kind of strolling entertainers around. I think there will be an opportunity, but, again, the question is at what scope and in what context. You know, this was a show that commanded a ticket price that was equal to its own absence. It was equal to or comparable to the Cirque shows. And that's a high area. That's a heady area to be competing in artistically for a consumer dollar. And you have a relatively narrow audience, and that is a challenge.
John Castellamides writes on entertainment for the Las Vegas Sun. Thanks for joining us this morning, John.
You got it, Ian.